There we go.
She's talking away.
Just sweating him. Oh, my gosh. She's not saying anything. What the heck? Well, welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. Today is March 5th, 2023, just in case we replay this at a later date. And I'm Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us today, Bill?
Well, we have our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They've got everything you need when it comes to John Deere. You need parts. You need service. They can fix you up. They've got a great inventory of equipment in the yard right now. So if you need a tractor or a mower or attachments,
and
whatever
they have
it might be.
Stores everywhere.
Yep, they do. In fact, they just picked up Renner equipment in Nevada, two locations. So well,
these guys are like, I don't know.
Well, they're going for world domination, I think.
What I like about your store, Bill, is I can walk into your store and I can look and I can actually see you through glass. And I can go knock on your door and I can say, Bill, can I talk to you about a tractor?
There you go.
In my case, you'd probably kick me out.
You can talk to a human.
Go out to that hole and back and drive one first.
Okay? Yeah. Well, they've got it all up there, so go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or give them a call, 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at Pape Machinery. That's P-A-P-E Machinery.
.com.
Yeah,
Cameron and I are fired. We butted in on the commercial.
Yeah. Oh, hold it. Nothing runs like a John Deere. No, it's nothing runs like a deer, right?
Yeah.
I'll have to add a deduct to their bill this month. For all the horsing around.
We had a couple of Budinskis in the commercial.
Oh, I have a question for Bart.
I like doing it. So let's see. We should let people know that this show will be archived at wethepeopleradio.us this afternoon. Robert is homesick, so he will be doing that from sick bay. But thank you, Robert, and we hope you feel better soon. So he'll have that done for us, and we'll get that up on the site so you can send it to somebody else. And in the meantime, there's a page for the show here, March 5th, 2023. That has all the links to the places that we've been talking about, the Marinon and Mom's Strong and all those kinds of things. That is all on there for you.
You know what?
Back to the question.
Oh, well, first I want to highlight Bart's website. When you go on the Marinon website, there is some excellent follow-on information there. And the things that Bart's been talking about, cannabis-induced psychosis. And we haven't talked about cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome yet, Bart. We'll talk about that. What's CBD and detoxing from marijuana, which I think is super important so people can read about it. So,
give his site address.
Bart, give me your site address, please.
Oh, so let's see. I can give you my...
How about for Marinon?
Yeah, so Marinon. So it's Marinon, and this one, there's no hyphen, so it's maranon.group@gmail.com.
That's
your email. So if people want to follow on, they can email you. Got it. So for Marinon, it's your typical maranon.com. And you can go into the resources and you can look for those posts. They have posters and flyers, and that's really great. So both you and Aaron touched on this slightly. One of the things that we always hear all the time, I don't care who I talk to, they'll say, well, it's just marijuana.
Yes.
So if I hear that anymore from people, I think I'm just going to Ralph on them. I'm going to have my own.
You're going to have your hypermesis.
I'm going to have my hypermesis.
Yeah.
But, Bart, do you get, if you have a family that comes in, will you get one parent that will be in denial and another parent will go and like, be dragging them along going like, hey, this is why we have to come. And you have to educate these parents because there's this stage of denial because they grew up in the 60s or 70s or 80s and marijuana wasn't a big deal back then. Does that happen?
Oh yeah. Yeah, big time. So denial, in general is a huge problem with, people who have issues with alcoholism or addiction, any kind of addiction. So many people don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't drink that much. So, you know, like with me, I never got a DUI. And so denial is a huge issue with people who have addiction issues and, of course, other, you know, kind of issues as far as, you know, mental health. And then it's also a big issue with people who are codependent. And so you can have, let's say, usually the not always, but it is usually the mother or the wife, the spouse, or the girlfriend who comes to our meetings and will say, you know, my, you know, husband doesn't think it's as a good deal, or he just isn't at the point where he can come to terms. It's hard to face it, you know. You don't want to think of your son or your daughter, you know, as a drug addict, you know. And you don't want to think of them as, you know, having the problems with today's really strong high THC marijuana. And so denial is a huge issue. And, you know, one book I do want to plug, actually a couple books. One of them is called Codependent No More by Melody Beattie. No, new baby. It's called Codependency No More, and it's pretty much the Bible for people who have any kind of issues with enabling people or codependency. And the other book is by a world-renowned psychologist who works at Stanford University, and she has a bestseller, and it's really interesting. It's called Dopamine Nation. Dopamine Nation, and she talks actually a lot about her clients. So not only is she a professor and director of the department in at Stanford University, but she also sees clients individually. And this is, you know, a very wealthy area, you know, the Silicon Valley area and all that. And the amount of times that she talks about cannabis in the book and how, you know, quite a few of her patients are addicted to cannabis, you know, the THC, is really surprising. So Dopamine Nation, it's a New York Times bestseller by Anna Lemke, the MD, and it's called Finding Balance in the Age of Indulgence.
And that's spelled Lemke, L-E-M-B-K-E, and both that book and Codependent No More are available on Amazon. They're easy to find.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I've learned a lot from both those books. But to get back to your original question, the denial is a huge issue. And one of the ways I like to put it is that when someone comes in, again, let's just say they have a son or a daughter that's using way too much pot and has an issue with it, having problems with it, they might be in the same book, but they're on different chapters. So the father and the mother, you know. And so really the goal is to, you know, again, come to meetings. Maybe see but if you do see a therapist, you want to make sure you see a therapist that doesn't go, oh, it's just pot. It's no big deal. It's natural. You can't get addicted to that. So
yeah.
That I would not go to that therapist.
No.
Because they're
so,
back
in. So's opium.
They're back in the 1950s, like the world is flat or something. So anyway, and so... Yeah, whoever you see or whatever group you go to, I believe it's really important that they understand that today's a different. It's like a hard drug, and the THC levels are so high that it is addictive. And I'm not saying it's addictive for everybody, but for especially the developing brain, until they're about 25 years old or 26 years old, it can be highly addictive. Especially if you have an addictive personality.
And I did pick up from you, Bart, and I just want to reiterate that the only requirement for membership is that a person be affected by another person's marijuana addiction. So it can be a friend, and that I also see that you're a 501c3, that the meetings are at no cost. And I think what's important about that is that if you have a friend who you care for and love and you want to help them, they could come to a Marinon meeting and learn techniques and learn information that they could use then to help the person that they love. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And so our meetings are considered open, so anyone can come to the meetings just to check us out, to see what they're about. So anyway, they're open meetings. And I also want to plug Marijuana Anonymous. There are almost 500 meetings every week worldwide. Most of them are on Zoom for Marijuana Anonymous. which is a 12-step program to try to stop your addiction to marijuana. And so anybody who says that it's not addictive, well, I don't think there'd be 500 meetings a week if it's not addictive.
Exactly.
So what you do on that is you go to Google. It'd be probably easier to say Google, go to Google, and then it'd be Marijuana Anonymous, find a meeting. And they have a really great search engine to help you find a meeting. Also, let's just say you want an in-person meeting, and we don't have an in-person meeting except for Newport Beach a couple times a month. I know we'll have more and more as we get, because we're getting farther and farther away from COVID. But if you want an in-person meeting, those work a lot better for you. Then I would recommend going to Al-Anon, and if it's marijuana is the issue, just changing it like my wife and I did for years. Just change it in your head to marijuana every time you say alcohol. Or, again, you can go to an in-person Al-Anon meeting. If you have the issue yourself and you can't find an in-person Marijuana Anonymous meeting, you can go to Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of people do that. And then again, just change it.
And Bart, I'm on your site looking. I'm looking at your site, and I see that there is something scheduled every single day on your site. Like tonight, you're doing a study of the 12 concepts. Tomorrow night, there's a meeting, and it looks like you have meetings. I mean, every day in the month, there's something going on.
Yeah, we have meeting 7 days a week.
Do you have no life? This is your life now? No, really.
Yeah, this is my life. I do travel to the grocery store for vacation. That's about it.
With your cell phone in front of your face so they can see you.
Yeah. No, that's actually one of the big issues that we talk about, again, from our own point of view, is self-care.
Yes.
And so, it's really, I think it's really important to have a balanced life as much as possible. So, like I said, my wife and I travel, I play tennis. Don't tell my tennis friends I started playing pickleball. It's a secret. But I started playing pickleball with my wife and, can go to the gym, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really important, I think, to have a balanced life.
So for the people who, because I know them, I know people who have a person in their life, whether it's a spouse. In my former life, it was a spouse. That it's like you just can't make any headway.
Right.
So it's not Bill. So, just so in case anyone was confused, I have a life
like
before Bill.
It's like they're speaking Chinese, and you're speaking English. And
well, we were in Humboldt County, and he had these 10-foot plants in the backyard, and I was raising his two kids, and I'm like, you do realize they're coming to take your kids, right? When you get caught.
Yep. No, the denial is more than just a river in Egypt.
Yeah.
We have a therapist, a family therapist that listens to this show on a regular basis, and I know because she writes me every time we do something on pot, and I've got to tell you, today my phone will be ringing off the hook as soon as I get home. She will be jumping up and down saying, thank you, Bart Bright, for coming forward and talking about this really valuable subject.
What's crazy is there's therapists, in fact, I spoke to a therapist about a year ago, and she goes, what are you doing these days? And she's a kind of old friend. And I said, I told her, and she's from Montana. She's an old hippie. And she said, in Montana, we don't believe that. So I guess in Montana, the science is different. So I guess in Montana, you can't have any problems. But, you can smoke or use as much pot as you want, and there's no problems. And I didn't want to argue with her, but I just thought, wow, she's a therapist. She has a PhD. So it's great to hear about the therapist you just talked about, Joe, because a lot of them, there's a good amount of them still that think, oh, no, it's no big deal.
Yeah, it continually amazes me how science is only science if it supports your point of view.
Exactly.
If it doesn't, then that's obviously flawed science.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And there's even doctors and nurses that when you talk about cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, CHS, and for your audience, if they Google CHS, you'll find cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, who go, no, you can't get that from, cannabis. From
and just for people who don't speak doctor talk, that's throwing up That's when it causes you to throw up and you just don't stop throwing up.
Right. Yeah.
And, there's no effective treatment. Sure. They're using some antipsychotic medications to treat it, and they put you in a warm, hot shower, and that apparently helps. But we've already had people start to die from that.
I was just going to ask you, how long does it go? You just throw up for? I've never actually asked. I was thinking you threw up a bunch of times in a row.
Right.
No.
You do. You do. But the stomach content's empty.
Right.
And then you're just retching at that point.
Right.
Does it go for like days?
No, it lasts for hours.
Oh, my God.
It lasts for hours.
Well, that'd be enough to
So I thought, okay, so I went on to the Facebook group, and it's called, unfortunately, I didn't get to spell it out. So again, go to Google to figure out how to spell it. But it's Cannabinoid Hyperemesis Syndrome Recovery Group. It's a private Facebook group. They have over 20,000 members, and I thought I was smart when I went on that website, Facebook group, and I said, "Oh, you know, you need to stay off the THC." You know, and the administrator emailed me back and said, "Actually, once you get CHS, you have to stop all cannabis products."
Oh, does it come? It comes back then if you use it again.
And we're going to get to see that.
Even CBD. You can't use any cannabis products once you get it.
Yep, and we have a video from Dr. Finn of one of his patients in the ER, obviously protecting patient privacy, but showing the patient vomiting for an extended period of time, and it's pretty scary, because when you're vomiting, what are you not doing? You're not breathing, right? So you're impinging your airway. You got vomitus in your airway, and that's why some people aspirate and die from that.
So, yeah, and some people die from dehydration.
And dehydration as well. Sure.
So even CBD I'm gonna air quote it, but supposedly doesn't have THC in it or any of that. Even that'll set this off because it's from the cannabis plant.
Yeah, once you have this condition, I've heard that you have to stay away from all cannabis products.
Yep, and we'll confirm that with Dr. Madras and Dr. Finn.
But I was thinking
above my pay grade, but that's what I've heard. Yeah.
I was thinking about Dr. Reese, though. You know, his thing with the cancer, right? And we were asking him, "Oh, is it only the THC stuff?" And that's when he talked to us like we were morons and said, "If it comes from the cannabis plant, it causes cancer." So apparently, if it comes from the cannabis plant and you have the hypermesis, you'll have it some more. Wow!
Right, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, that is grisly.
If anybody's on Facebook, or people who are, if you go to that Facebook page, and, you know, for me, of course, I don't have it, but I'm interested, so I'm, you know, a member. So, most of them do have, or have had CHS. But anyway, you can go, and the stories you read are just, the posts are just, oof.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I think there's different degrees to CHS. I was talking to a Rotary group, and they go, "Wait, I think my neighbor's daughter has that because she keeps having problems with her stomach. So, you know, maybe they're not throwing up, and maybe they're having stomach problems, and they should definitely get it checked out by a doctor who knows about it." Instead of the doctor saying, "Oh, no, you can't get that."
Yeah, preferably not the one that wrote their marijuana card.
We
have to take a quick break here. We'll be back with our guest, Bart Bright. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Nice job, Bill.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too long to be proud, and you don't know. A lot of grass. Oh Lord, I popped a lot of pills. But I've never touched nothing that my spirit could kill. You know, I've seen a lot of people walking around with tombstones in their eyes.
just want you to know, Officer Joe has been bugging me to do that song forever.
Well, this is the reason why. I had a 1957 Panhead Harley Davidson that I used to ride every day to school.
And then Easy Rider came out, and you were like, oh, my gosh.
It had ape hangers on it. I used to get stopped by Connecticut State Police every single day. They'd take their nightstick, they'd shove it up the exhaust pipe, which I had hollowed out because it made more noise. And then I'd have to go and get a fix-it ticket. So then I'd put steel wool in the exhaust pipe, and that would be good for the next day. And then the next day, I'd take it out, and I'd get another ticket. And that went on for a whole year. And then I finally said, you know what? I think I need to become a policeman. Join them. So that's what I did.
It's interesting. You can play a little Steppenwolf from the Easy Rider movie and get a story about how a guy became a cop. You heard it here first.
Oh.
We are the purveyor of all that is odd.
So, Bart.
Back to Bart.
Bart, when it comes to activism, you know, for me, people say, well, why do you do it? And I say, there's a long story.
Because there's no choice not to.
Well, there's a long story, but I'm not going to give that story today. But the short story is that I care about our kids and I care about our community. And so I never knew that when I retired, all of a sudden I'd get involved in this thing called marijuana, and it would be 24/7. For me, and it does. It takes up my entire life. How about you? Tell me about your life now and Marinon.
Yeah, so I would say I probably spend 20 to 30 hours a week. I'm retired, so that's what I do, unless we're taking a trip or something. So part of it is Marinon, and then part of it is doing research and volunteering for groups like Every Brain Matters.
Yes.
Every Brain Matters, Johnny's Ambassadors. Just got off the phone with Heidi Swan, A Night in Jail. And of course with you and you, Joe, and other people. And so it's kind of like I've gone from pothead to pot ed, ED, education.
Pot Ed.
Yeah. And Bart, we're bringing Laura Stack from Johnny's Ambassadors here to Shasta County on May 2nd, and she's going to be speaking at several schools here at no charge to Shasta County, and that's going to be incredible when we have her here.
Wow, yeah, I look forward to maybe I'll try to go up there because, it took me a while to get the courage to read her book.
Yes.
But basically what happened to her son, Johnny, was very similar to what happened with my son. And after I read the book, it was really incredible. It's called Johnny Stack's Life and Death Story, The Dangerous Truth About Today's Marijuana by Laura Stack. And so he was 19. My son was 28. But the similarities are just incredible.
So Kevin was 28 years old, so that takes us over the 25 that everybody says, brain formulates till 25, but at 28, and we are seeing all this emerging research that shows even people in later in life, and we're getting a lot of people that are in their 60s now that are starting heavy cannabis use, that they are being affected as well.
Well, they don't know. They don't know that they're tapping into something. I mean, it would be like you thought you were trying some regular medication, and it turns out, oh no, it's laced with whatever, crack or something that. Oh, just try this. You'll like it. And then you can't stop.
Well, plus I think a lot of the older people that are doing it are probably thinking, well, it's like when I
did that back in college.
Yeah, back in the 70s. Oh, yeah. And it's not that bad.
And it's good for me. It's going to be better for me than alcohol, and it's going to solve my, it's going to help with cancer and this, that, and the other, because they're all told that it's medical.
Yeah. I just don't think a lot of people realize the difference between today's pot and the pot that they grew, back in the day.
They
call that hippie weed, and you can't even sell it anymore. They don't want it.
No one will buy it.
Yeah. Nobody will buy it.
Yeah.
Well, besides that, if you're going to do drugs, who does research before they do that, right?
Yeah. Right, the point. it's interesting because if you compare big tobacco and cigarettes to basically big tobacco / big cannabis today, it's really incredible. So you think about years ago, let's just say 100 years ago, cigarettes didn't have that much nicotine in them compared to today. Okay, and so the cigarette companies, you know, figured out, hey, if we put more nicotine into the cigarettes, you know, gradually, more and more, then we'll get more people addicted to nicotine and we'll make more money. So that's what they did. They called it natural back then. They said it wasn't addictive.
Remember the doctors that used to smoke it? They'd put on their white lab coats and they'd come on the, and they'd be smoking their Marlboros or their Marlboro Man.
Well, they had
Man.
Commercials. Remember
they had commercials,
the other doctor,
right.
My doctor smokes exactly. Unfiltered Camels. It's like, right.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you're right. And they even had an asthma cigarette that they would prescribe.
What?
And, well, it was a status symbol. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, if you smoked, you were, you know, in the in crowd.
Well, for heaven's sakes, the marijuana is the same thing, and I'll leave the name off. But there's a local doctor here. We just found out that when marijuana became legal, he was going out and smoking it in his car. You know, lunch break.
Oh yeah.
Like, well, okay, so that's going to be a great idea.
Exactly. And so not only do you have all those other things that are same exact stuff happening with, you know, the cannabis and marijuana, is it started out with low THC, and they figured out, hey, if we get more and more THC in there, we get more and more customers, get more and more people addicted. It's considered cool. Cigarettes were considered cool back then. So it's the playbook is basically the exact same playbook. Altria, that owns Marlboro, and is one of the, if not the biggest tobacco company, has invested heavily in the cannabis business and vapes. And vapes are huge with young people, especially. And so now it's basically big tobacco's doing the same thing that they did years ago.
Yeah. And the lying, the addiction, the marketing.
Exactly.
And we found through our drug prevention coalition here that the same week that we outlawed flavored tobacco vapes, the following week all the dispensaries, and there's 280 here in Shasta County.
What?
I'm sorry, not dispensaries, all the vape shops. The vape shops were selling THC 890, all the Delta variants. So they're getting by with sneaking in under the law. If we could wave the magic flag tomorrow and make all of this legal and put it all down in the Central Valley, and all this would be, you know, organically grown, as we always hear, it's always organically grown. Your job, I think your job would just get exponentially worse. You'd have more addicted people out there. I think that we'd see we're about 30% of the population of America is going to use marijuana recreationally.
Really?
Yes, that's the numbers. About 30% will try it and use it recreationally. About maybe like 18% will use it regularly. Those numbers. That was the last number I looked at.
Yeah, I think what would happen if that happened, and it just got as prevalent as alcohol, you know, anybody could sell it, in any liquor store, et cetera, then, of course you get so much more harm, so you'd have so many more people going into Marijuana Anonymous, going to rehabs, of course, the Marathon would get so many more members, and, you know, just, it would get to the point like alcohol. It's like, okay, you know, Uncle Joe, he's an alcoholic, or, you know, so-and-so, and so, it would just get worse and worse. And I think my main thing is education and all that, because, you know, even when, before it was legal, you know, like I said, I was doing it. I know a lot of people were doing it. My son was doing it even before it was legal. And but one of the problems, too, of course, is that you can't buy alcohol if you're 18.
Right.
So
even with
18,
a special card.
it's unbelievable. So I just wanted to do that and check it out. And I got my medical marijuana card once it became legal that way in California. I think I went in there and the doctor, she says, what's wrong? And I go, my back hurts, She goes, have you tried Tylenol? And I go, no. And I go, yeah, I have. And I go, it doesn't work that well. And she goes, okay. And signs my, gives me my marijuana card.
How much did it cost you? How much did it cost?
Oh, back then I think it was like, $40 or something.
Okay.
But I've never heard of anyone, and I've done a little research here, I've never heard of one person getting denied a medical marijuana card.
So you have, doctors.
It does cure everything. That's why.
They bank on
and
that
I've never,
thing.
I've never heard that about any other medicine, you know. And any FDA-approved medicine, obviously the doctor says, okay, this is how long you take it, this is how much you take, come back and let's check, see how you're doing. I've never heard that from a doctor that gives a medical marijuana card the day someone turns 18.
Wow. Well, and so for the people who tell you that, it's better than alcohol. Wait, for the people who believe, actually, how about that? For the people who believe that this is a much better recreational drug to use other than alcohol, because alcohol is just so destructive. You've been impacted by both, personally and in your family. What would be, like, if you could soapbox that?
My response?
Yeah.
Yeah, my response is that everybody's different. There are people that I've heard of and I kind of even know of a little bit that you can do it a little bit here, a little bit there. Just like there are people who can drink a little bit here, a little bit there, okay? However, if someone has an addictive personality or has addiction in their family, has schizophrenia in their family, and they may not even know, because the schizophrenia could have happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you don't want to touch it. Just like you don't want to touch alcohol if you have alcoholics in your family. So it's all different for different people. And so that's what I would say, is that sometimes it's not as dangerous. Sometimes it is more dangerous than alcohol. It just depends. It really just depends.
I wish that I could, Bart, get you to speak to one of our Board of Supervisors one-on-one, and he believes that we should advertise marijuana freely in our community, and that's Supervisor Chris Kellstrom, and he saved that tidbit until 2 days before the election, just so I think he could pick up some marijuana votes right there at the end. That was my opinion, and I've talked to him about it, and I can't get him to admit the harm there. So it'd be good to have somebody like you do a presentation to the Board of Supervisors.
Sure, I'd love to. Like I said, I can do presentations to other people in other groups. So yeah, I'd love to do that. It's easy, to say stuff like that. I used to say stuff like that when I was a lot younger, and that's what I thought. I believed. But just like a lot of people believed that cigarettes weren't addictive, a lot of people way back, as we know, believed the world was flat.
That's coming back again, too.
And they really believed it. I mean, they believed it big time, But that doesn't make it true, And just because you don't have anybody in your life that's addicted to THC doesn't mean it's not a real issue for a lot of people.
That's an excellent point. Just because it hasn't hit you yet doesn't mean it isn't a factor. We have to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back with our guest, Bart Bright. And you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, drag it out.
Yeah.
People want to know everywhere I go. What can the answer be? I tell them music is the doctor.
Yeah, bad medicine indeed. Little did they know when they wrote that song. It would be so appropriate later. So, Bart, what haven't we covered? Like, what do you think we people should know that they don't, and we haven't talked about it yet? Anything?
Okay, yeah, that's good. One of the things I have to correct is my son died in 2018, he was actually 29 when he passed away.
29.
But anyway, So I think it happened to me. It happened to my family. It doesn't happen to this extreme, you know, very much compared to just having someone, you know, not thrive because they're, you know, smoking too much pot or vaping too much or eating too much. So just because you don't think, and it probably won't be as extreme as it, as what's happened to have happened to my son. To me, it's like, okay, if it happens to one out of six, well, let's just say it happens to one out of 100. This is 1% of the time. You know, it's just not worth it. You know,
and then, you know, and the other part that we kind of forgot, but we've interviewed him too, is Dr. Philip Drum, and his sister right. was killed by a driver who was high.
Exactly.
So it might not be your relative that takes their own life, but somebody else's relative may take your person.
Exactly. Yeah. And how are you going to feel if you get high? Whether it's medical, and that's another thing is there's so much misinformation or misunderstanding about this subject because somebody goes, it's medical, you know. Well, the THC is the same.
Okay? Yeah. Exactly.
Whether it's medical THC or, you know, quote unquote recreational THC. It's the same. Another thing, so you get into a car, you kill somebody, or you cause an accident, how are you going to feel? You know, even if you walk away with no injuries, how are you going to feel if you, you know, put someone in a wheelchair for life or kill somebody? You know, I know other people, I know Phil Drum, and I also know other people who've had loved ones killed by people that are high on, THC and marijuana. So another issue is that people say, you know, if it's bad because it's laced with other drugs or maybe fentanyl and all that. And I go, well, of course, you know, it's going to make it worse. But what if you drink, you know, 151 Everclear alcohol? You know, and let's just say that alcohol is organically grown, organically processed and all that. It's still alcohol. You know?
Yeah.
So 75% alcohol.
I've checked that before.
Yeah. And so you say, it's 75% THC and it's organic. Well, you know, that's, and like I said, just because it's organic doesn't mean it's the same drug. It's THC.
Bart, we highlighted at the last Board of Supervisors meeting, we highlighted a Shasta High School girl, 15 years old, who was in a vehicle with her friend. They had been smoking marijuana, crashed and killed her. And Kathy and I went to visit her grave, and then we brought a picture of her without putting her name on it to the Board of Supervisors. And one of our Board of Supervisors became extremely upset and said that we were grandstanding by just showing that reality of death directly in our community, which it couldn't have been any. We weren't grandstanding. We were showing the reality of
right.
this drug in our community.
Exactly, and that's how I feel. Instead of my son's death being in vain, I'm trying to educate so that, you know, if there's other people like I was, again, thinking it was no big deal, it would never happen to my kids or my family, yeah, I'm trying to do the same thing. And that's what we're all trying to do, it sounds like here. And, you know, the thing is, too, is that, okay, let's just say, you know, it's not that bad, and they're not going to have cannabis-induced psychosis or CHS or some other really terrible, you know, conditions, or get in a car and kill somebody or whatever. But what if they just are stoned a lot and they don't do much and they argue with you a lot and they don't get a job, or they're always asking for money, and they, you know, they're just living a pathetic life? Now, to me, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, or they waste their life away. Right. Maybe they don't kill anybody or themselves, but they've completely wasted their entire life.
Well, we had a friend. Exactly. We had a friend that I was talking to one time, and he didn't drink. And I asked him, I said, well, why don't you drink? And he said, well, he goes, I'll tell you, he goes, I can handle alcohol. He goes, I don't have a problem with it. But if you and I go out and drink, he goes, how do I know you don't have a problem? You know, I offer you a drink, and maybe you're trying to cut back, and something bad happens as a result of that. That's on me. He goes, so
right.
I just don't. And I think a lot of people have to kind of look at it that way, that, you know, you can offer somebody marijuana, you know, let them know, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Right. How do you know they're not going to, you know, turn into an addict and not right. not ever quit?
Yeah, exactly. And the problem, too, is that, you know, this terminology of recreational. Well, when I think of recreation, I think of healthy stuff like volleyball, basketball, tennis,
yeah.
you know, recreation. So to me, we don't call it recreational alcohol, you know. And so the terminology we need to, you know, I think change. And also the problem is that when the kids are young, they like to experiment with different things, and they start experimenting. They take something, let's say a gummy. They have a gummy that has THC, or they take a vape, you know, drag off a vape or whatever, and they say, wow, I feel better. I feel high. This is great. This is fun, you know. They can get used to that. Lots of young people get used to that. And then let's say they're out of, you know, the vape oil. They're out of whatever the gummies. And some kid says, hey, you know, this is a Xanax or this is a Percocet. They take it and it's got fentanyl in it and they die. Right. I know quite a few parents have lost kids to that. So the problem is they get into a habit of changing the way they feel in an unhealthy way and in a risky way. And then they get in the habit of just picking up almost anything.
Well, I think that, you know, early on in the debate, it was considered a gateway drug, and there was a lot of controversy about that.
Oh yeah,
you know, back in the day, it was, you know, 2%.
Back in the day, we made fun of our parents for saying that.
Yeah,
by the
saying
way.
It was
right.
a gateway drug.
That, yeah.
But today's marijuana absolutely is a gateway drug. I mean, you're dealing with something that is so much more potent, and
right.
if kids take it and really like it, they're going to do it again and again.
Well, the other part is they've built, and it's always been there, right? I mean, the Grateful Dead made a fortune on the culture of marijuana.
Right.
So it's
exactly.
always had a culture, and it's always like been kind of like being in a club of some sort.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah, you're cool.
Yeah. So there is this culture, and that has come back full force. Like, I don't remember that really being such a big deal when my kids were growing up, like in the 80s and 90s, but that's back full blast. I was at the grocery store, and here's this woman with a baby on her hip wearing stretchy pants that really she had no business wearing. you know,
they were really stretchy.
Sack of doorknobs with it. Anyway, so, and it's got these giant black ones, and it's got these giant green marijuana leaves all the way down the sides, and I'm thinking, one day you're going to be somebody's grandma. What are you doing?
Exactly.
She's somebody's mom. I can imagine my mom running around at the grocery store with big marijuana leaves on her legs.
Exactly. And not only if it's not a gateway drug, let's say to other drugs, different drugs, the weak, let's say gummy or the weaker vape or whatever is a gateway drug to the stronger marijuana.
Exactly.
Because you build up a tolerance. So. Yeah,
well, and that's the one that seems super innocuous, too, is the, right. oh, I take the gummies to sleep or whatever, and I'm like,
right.
you do realize, like, you can make those, you can make that high-potency stuff with hemp and toluene, because I'm thinking, you know, if you go out by your water heater and you look at things that shouldn't be there and you put it in your mouth, probably probably not a great idea.
Yeah. And so you
burn your house down, what the hell?
Exactly. Just like with alcohol. Alcoholics usually almost always when they're young start with, you know, whatever, a couple of beers, a couple of glasses of wine, and then they need more and more to get that same high. The same thing works with THC. So the less THC, you know, weaker THC is a gateway drug to the stronger stuff.
Right.
Bart, as we start winding toward the end of the show here, I'm going to ask you a personal question. You can share or choose not to. And by the way, I want to remind everybody that Marinon also is in Spanish. So I'm going to butcher my Spanish right now and say,
Sí, señor.
Marijuana. No.
Marijuana.
Es muy mal para su cabeza. I think that's marijuana is bad for your head, but I don't know. Somebody who speaks Spanish.
What'd you call me?
I thought you said beer.
Oh.
I think Loco is involved there. I think Loco is one of the words you got to string in.
So I'd like to finish with the human interest of Bart Bright. And Bart, if you want to share, you may. And if you want to talk about something else, please do.
Or tell a story about Joe. That'd be fun. We'd like that.
Yeah, there you go.
How did this affect your life personally and your family and your marriage? Because you had a death of your son and all this pressure was put upon you. And we've got about maybe like 3 or 4 minutes to talk about that, if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, when that happened, when he took his life, and even before that, I was drinking more and more. I don't think I was your poster child alcoholic. I never drank in the morning. I never got a DUI and all that, but I drank more than I should have. And then when he took his life, I figured, okay, well, I'm just going to drink more and escape. And I don't want to feel the feelings that are associated with that tragic situation. And so if it wasn't, again, for these 12-step programs, starting with Al-Anon, you know, about 14 years ago, and sure, my wife and I would be divorced, and you know, and all that. But because of Al-Anon, we were pretty, if not on the same page, we're usually on the same chapter in the book. And so we also had sponsors. We're working these steps. We're working on ourselves to try to become, you know, healthier people. It's always going to be there. Of course, anybody who loses a loved one, especially a child, in any way, you know, there's always that kind of a, almost like a hole in the heart, or just it's always there. But it's like, okay, what am I going to do with it? So the only thing I can think about doing with it is by not letting his death be in vain and trying to help others and be there for others. And my wife does it basically the same thing in the volunteer work that she does.
You and I are bound forever in our conviction to make the world a better place, and you're doing it every day. So I personally thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, it's this is one of those things that a lot of people would just, and I'm sure you meet them in your meetings, people who have maybe just withdrawn from the world, and they took such a hard hit that they just sort of bailed out. And
that's what I did. And then I realized, okay, I'm either going to drink myself to death, or I'm going to get my act together and see how I can help others. And by helping others, of course, you help yourself.
In the folks that you work with in your meetings, in your Maranon group, I guess I'm kind of curious. So you can never quantify it really, but do the bulk of people, are they dealing with a kid? Like a kid under 18 lives in their house? Well, I guess kids now live in people's houses until they're 40, but.
Right.
Okay, I might have to change that a little bit. But are we dealing with a kid, or are we dealing with like a spouse or a grown up? And we're kind of in the last 10 seconds here, but just curious.
Yeah, sure. I'd say, number one, everybody's invited to come to open meetings, so you can always come and check us out. So the answer is, I'd say 60% are parents.
Okay.
And then probably 40% are either boyfriend.
Great. So anybody can fit in. Bart Bright's been our guest today. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Trying to make sense of a hopeless situation feels like